And yes, it's the 8th anniversary already.
It is. It seems hard. I mean, I know it doesn't probably get any easier for you two, especially Tuesday night. I was watching a National Geographic, and they talked about September 11th, and they were going through the whole day and all the different flights, and they had your daughter-in-law on with her comments about talking to Tom on the phone and things like that. So,
yes.
You know, that's are we doing enough as a nation to remember this day, in your opinions?
Well, I'm not a very good judge of that. We're tucked away here in the southeast corner of Minnesota, and I don't think we're doing everything right. That's all. And thanks to some well-intentioned but misguided people, the National Park Service and the Department of Interior, they refuse to take a look at our argument. They want things to roll along as they've been going.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of inertia. They've got that train rolling now, and they don't want it to stop. There's too much at stake for a lot of those people who have blocked us.
Now, this is involving the memorial in Shanksville?
Yes, it is.
What do they have so invested in it that there's a problem with the Department of Interior?
Well, to begin with...
Well, maybe before we get jump to that, maybe we should, in a way, set the table a little bit more.
Okay.
Would you guys feel like maybe going over a little bit that day, since it is the 8th anniversary tomorrow? And
yes.
And for some of the listeners that maybe haven't heard you the first time.
Okay.
And then what we'll do is we'll get into this memorial then and bring in Alex as well, who's worked with you. So
I think we could, and I would like to have the people know that our son came home on Saturday before 9/11, flew into Minneapolis, and Tom Sr. picked him up, and he wanted to go up to his farm. He had been working very hard on a merger and was exhausted, wanted to go to the farm, and Tom Sr. took him up there. He looked some things over, and on his way up there, Tom Sr. can tell you, but a man from Siren, Wisconsin called Tommy and said that he had been referred to him. He had a heart problem. So I'll let Tom tell that down the road. But they went to the farm, and after they got their things done, they went to Frederick, Wisconsin. And on the way through Frederick, they decided to go to church. They did that. And after 9/11, that priest in Frederick sent the tape of the Mass that was said in Frederick to us. And on the way back to Minneapolis, made some stops and called me quite a few times because we were going to have dinner together, the three of us, and which we did. And the next day being Sunday, Tom Jr. had some errands to do. And his errands were at a couple places, the mall and different places, shopping for some things. He lost his cell phone, and he was really upset about it, and because he told his dad, I have over 100 phone numbers on that cell phone.
Mm.
And Tom Sr. said, oh, don't worry about it. Take your mother's cell phone, and you can go do to work with that cell phone. He said, Dad, you don't understand. And so, but he did take my cell phone, went back to the stores, and called his cell phone and found it.
Oh, wow.
And got it and charged it up and took it to New York. But he had a brand new cell phone. My cell phone, you probably can call Wisconsin and Iowa, but it couldn't go anyplace else. And but anyway, he flew to New York, met with a gentleman where he had just completed a merger for his company. He had dinner with the gentleman and his wife. It was raining that night. And he called us Monday night after dinner and told us he was in the hotel and he was looking at Times Square and said, oh, you should come here, Mom. You'd like a dad baby, but you should make a trip here and quit going to places where you can only play golf and eat. And so anyway, we had a nice conversation. He was extremely tired because he had been working for probably 2 weeks on that merger. And he gave us some, he's always giving us some orders and things to do. And so he did that, and that was the last time we talked with him. And on September 11th, Tom Sr. was in our house in Bloomington reading the paper. And I was just getting up, and the phone rang, and it was our daughter, Mary Margaret. And she said, "Where's Tommy?" We said, "Well, he's in New York. He called last night." "Oh, there's trouble." And I said, "Oh, he'll be all right." And so we turned on the TV, and within minutes, our daughter, Mary Margaret, was at our house, and so was our daughter, Martha. And we knew there was trouble. I called. In the meantime, I had called Dina, Tom's wife in California, and she said no, she hadn't heard from Tom. But as we were talking, the call came in. It was Tom. He was calling in, and his family in Bloomington, we were relieved because we thought he was okay.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, thank God that he called. And Dina called back and told us that he had said he was on Flight 93 and had been hijacked. And he knew it was a suicide mission. He had found out from Dina about the World Trade Center. And he knew that he and some other passengers had to take the plane back. And
yeah, in the show on National Geographic, it was he and that Glick that kind of coordinated and organized everyone to overtake the hijackers and then pound in and work their way into the cockpit to try to take it over.
Right. I think there was a couple other men that probably were, that names did not come up in the films, that were very helpful because they were former pilots.
Mm.
And they were big men. And you know that the people involved in trying to take back that plane were the big men and people who knew, you know, and had the courage to do it. And Tommy had told Dina that one of the passengers had been killed and that the terrorists had threatened them with bombs on the plane. And Dina was very good because she was able to write everything down. And also we have a second record because our daughter Martha wrote down everything that Dina told her. So we know what Tommy said, and we know what happened. And that morning, we saw the plane go into the Pentagon, and, we were just waiting. And then, of course, the plane crashed in Shanksville.
Yeah. And think of the lives they, A, saved and our capital, because... You know, like National Geographic said, from the information they learned from captured prisoners, that the Capitol was the target.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
I mean, they were the first soldiers in the new war.
They were they fought the Islamic terrorists, the first battle against the Islamic terrorists. And a lot of people do not want to say they were Muslim terrorists, but they were. And we must not forget that. They have made claims they want to kill us. And, I don't know why. I mean, we're the most generous country in the world. We have people who, from all these churches all over our country who go overseas to help people. Our granddaughter joined the Peace Corps. You know, it just, I have a hard time understanding what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't.
I could tell you. And I can tell the listeners, too, that they call themselves religion. A religion of the sword is what it is. And I've read enough about it to know that they want to kill all of the people in the Western world. And Americans, number one, of course. And further, I wanted to say, Tom led that effort to take the airplane back. And you read that probably in Dina's phone calls that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And we
should say, too, that's on the is that on that website, TomBurnettFamilyFoundation.org?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So people can go to that and also see a lot of the transcripts written down and more on the information. And the foundation, too, because the last time we talked, I know that the school kids were so important to Tom. Talk about the foundation.
The foundation, supports in our mission statement. I'm trying to look for what it is, but it really supports education. That's what Tommy was all about, was education and being a good citizen. And we support the University of Minnesota Scholarship. They have a wonderful leadership program there. We support St. John's at Collegeville. They have a scholarship in Tommy's name. We support Jefferson High School, where Tommy graduated. It's a public school. And there is two scholarships coming out of Bloomington. We support that. We support the program that is at the middle school for eighth graders, and it's called Citizenship. And we're hoping this year or the first part of next year, this young man who did his thesis on the results of attending this program and what happens to the young people who find out that they should be a service to their fellow man. And so we will have that report, and we'll put it up on our website so people can, at least go someplace to read it of what he has found out. But we have heard from the administrators that the young people, many of them didn't know, should we go to a nursing home and help people? And they did that, and they've done a lot of things. And that program we're extremely proud of, extremely proud of.
Well, and you should be. I know that 8 years, and it does seem like it's flown right by since that tragic day, but have you been able to move forward at all? I mean, I know it, as parents, to lose a child, it's very painful, but how have you been able to overcome that, to at least get through day by day?
I think that, and Tom can speak for himself, but I think he agrees with me, is that 9/11 seems like many days it was yesterday. And we live in Northfield, which is the pattern for these planes to go into Minneapolis. And constantly we hear the planes overhead, and we think about Tom. We think about his fight to live. And no, it's not easy. It's not easy to, think about it, because are we doing everything we can as people to prevent this from happening again?
Mm-hmm. Do you fly? Are you able to get on an airplane?
I have not been able to. I was supposed to go to a couple meetings, and I just can't do it. I did it immediately after 9/11. My attitude was, so be it, And now, I don't know. But when Tom and I would get on the planes, we would look around and see the people, see who was on there, and just pray to God that we were going to make it home. And but it's, I think a lot of people feel like we do.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to fly.
How's Adina and your grandkids doing?
Dina is doing very well, and our grandchildren are now going to school. They go to that school. They love it. They're great students. They're good citizens, as Tom would be very proud of them. They're very active in sports. A couple of them love basketball. I'm a midget standing next to them. These girls are going to be 6+, and they play basketball, they play soccer, they play the piano. We have gone down to do errands and help Dina, and my goodness, when 7 o'clock comes around, we have to go to bed. I mean, they do so much. They're beautiful girls. He would be. I know he's very, very proud of them, and he's very proud of what Dina has done. She's done everything to honor him since 9/11, and we thank her for that.
She's a good mother.
Yeah.
That's just, we don't want to forget that either, you know.
Well, and I keep thinking to myself, you know, we just, you know, hope the history books, you know, hope the school kids are being told about this day and what happened and break it down and talk about not only the efforts of your son and the people on that flight, but then all of the rescue people that went into those towers that died, the innocent lives that died, and then the folks that got together afterwards and united to kind of heal the country.
There is, you know, and there are many books out, too, about 9/11, and a John O'Neill book, I can't think of the title of it, but was with the FBI, who warned the FBI and people in the government that we were not doing enough. And he left the FBI and became the in charge of security at the World Trade Center.
Yes.
And he was killed that day.
Yes, he was.
And there was a man who, with a... another company who believed, you know, that people needed to train to get out of the World Trade Center, and in case of a tragedy, and he had, you know, training. You know, I don't know how often, but people would see him and the people coming out of the offices, and they would laugh. Oh, he's just having another training. Well, I think that most of those people that worked for that company got out safely. Except for him. He was helping out. Do you remember the name of the man, Tom?
No, not offhand.
But there is a book about him, too, and what a hero.
And then, again, when I saw the episode of National Geographic, you'd hear some of the survivors that got out saying, well, this person came and found me and got me to the stairwell, and then I took off, and then they went looking for more, and they never saw him again. I mean, it's amazing what we do. And what you said earlier, Beverly, about you know, this country, there again is an example of how the selfless sacrifice of so many's wanting to help our neighbors.
Yeah, right.
And I think we always, you know, I think about the, you know, all the programs we have in the government, and I'm you know, come from a different generation, and my mother and father, as Tom's, that we didn't ever really look to the government all the time. We looked to our neighbors and churches and friends for things. And but our government should be there to make sure we're safe. And I hope that is the case. I worry about the borders and people coming into our country. And people, some people are afraid to say, the 19 hijackers were Muslim terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid to say that. And I have a hard time understanding if they want to call them something else, you know, but not Muslim terrorists, but
yeah,
they were.
I mean, I don't know why in this world that we're so worried about being politically correct. But when something like that happens, I mean, that's the way it is. Sometimes you wonder if it would have been 19 white guys from Alabama, I don't think they'd have any trouble calling it what it is.
No, there is a chaplain out at Fort Snelling in Minneapolis who used that example. Were there 19 Methodist terrorists? That you know, what would we have done?
Yeah,
and he used the word Methodist, and I thought, wow, and it's true. But our attorneys, and Tom can tell you about the lawsuit, went back and listed all of the terrorist acts since 1930, and this should really be published so people realize what has been going on all these years.
Okay.
And we've ignored them. Our country has ignored them.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Hold on here, because I'm going to get Alec Rawls on the line, Tom and Beverly, and we'll talk a little bit about this memorial site. The last time we had you on, there was still a little bit of controversy going on, and I know there is yet. We'll get an update on that from you folks and Alec as he joins in. Alec is the author of Crescent of Betrayal, and we'll look at some of the controversial plans. We'll take a news break with Tom after a commercial break, and then more of 55 Feedback with the Burnetts. Morning. Welcome to our second segment. Staying with us, Beverly and Tom Burnett, the parents of Flight 93 hero Tom Burnett Jr. And joining us is Alec Rawls. He is the author of Crescent of Betrayal. And his website is Crescent of Betrayal, all one word, .com. At full exposure of this memorial they have planned. And let's, of course, welcome back Beverly and Tom Burnett, and now joining us, Alec Rawls. Good morning, Alec.
Good morning. Hi, Terry. Hi, Tom. Hi, Beth.
Hey.
Hi.
Good to hear you again.
Well, yeah. Let's, first of all, tell us about your book, Alec, Crescent of Betrayal.
Well, it's about this this giant crescent-shaped memorial that they're planning on building. Many people are familiar with that original controversy in 2005 when this memorial named the Crescent of Embrace was unveiled. So it appeared to be a giant crescent and star flag planted on the crash site. It's about a 2/3 of a mile in diameter crescent shape of the typical Islamic shape, covers about 2/3 of a circle of arc. And then right between the tips of the crescent is a memorial plaza, and that's right in the position of the star on a crescent and star flag. And it's out on an open field, so it's just a bare-naked Islamic crescent and star flag. And that caused a huge controversy, and they promised to change it. They promised to remove the Islamic symbol shapes specifically, but they never did. So the original design was described by the architect as a broken circle. Flight 93 breaks our circle of peace and leaves it standing in its wake, this giant Islamic crescent. So, I mean, it's overtly, according to his own description of the design, a memorial to the terrorists.
And before we, you know, for the people that maybe missed the last time you and the Burnetts were on, how in the world did this design get picked? Because I think that's interesting. You had like a panel of some of the family members and what, art scholars, or give us that rundown.
Okay, do you want to do that?
Tom's the expert on that, yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, I was on that committee. I had applied to be there because I didn't know what was going to come off. And I've always been after the truth. And so during that presentation, where we selected on a vote of 9-6, as I understand it, they picked Murdoch's design. And at that point, you know, I said, hey, everybody here, do you understand that this is a Islamist riddled with Islamic symbols? And they were just abounded in that place, and we had a mock-up of the design by Murdoch, and I said, "Be careful! Be careful what we do here. Let's not honor the Muslims who are on that flight. Let's honor the 40 people, crew and passengers, who were killed. As simple as that."
Mm-hmm.
And we had some people who, it was evenly split. There were family members of victims, and then there were experts from various universities and colleges surrounding Somerset, Wisconsin, Somerset, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and they were interested in the design. They liked the design, different designs they liked, and I just couldn't vote for them, you know. And I tried to make my pitch, and that day, I had a lot of those experts turn against me on that. And I sat next to a couple of them, and they vilified me, and they have since, saying some of the most outlandish things. And all we want, Alec, and the thousands of Americans who back us, we want the truth, what happened. And we also want to honor the 40 people. I don't want anything to do with those Islamic fanatics, anything at all.
And that's what we should, in the design, if I remember right, and you guys can jump in, they have like teardrops representing all the people that died, and they include the Islamic terrorists in part of that group, don't they?
What they have is a there was to be a sequence of 40 inscribed translucent memorial blocks and placed along the flight path. So remember, the theme of this is the flight path, or the violence on flight on 9/11 breaks the circle. So along this thematically central flight path, they placed 40 glass blocks. At the upper crescent tip where the flight path breaks a circle is this huge glass block that dedicates the entire site. As you move down, there's three glass blocks that are inscribed with the 9/11 date. And then there's a sequence of 40 glass blocks inscribed with the names of the 40 heroes. So in addition to the 40 heroes, there's the three with the 9/11 date and the one at the upper crescent tip. So that's four extra glass blocks. Well, there were four hijackers on Flight 93. So in total, there are 44 inscribed translucent memorial blocks, equaling the number of passengers, crew, and terrorists. And this was by their own design that these glass blocks were to represent individual lives. They've got the names of the individual passengers and crew inscribed on 40 of them. This is part of Murdoch's scheme to create a memorial to the terrorists. The Memorial Project denied vehemently many times that there were these 40 blocks, even though anybody could open up the design drawings and count them. But after all these denials, they did decide to change the design in a very minor way so that there would no longer be 44 of these glass blocks on the flight path. What they did was they took the three blocks that were to be inscribed at the 9/11 date, and they turned them into a single block. So now that the total number of these inscribed translucent blocks is 42 instead of 44. Why did they do that if it wasn't that there were originally 44? I mean, after denial and denial and denial, they sneakily change it and pretend that somehow changes the nature of this design. I mean, this is designed to be a memorial to the terrorists. So that's what they're up to, there's another part of that to tell. There's another terrorist memorializing feature included in that design, in that sequence, that was not altered by changing the three blocks to one block. So we can get to that to show the futility of trying to, you know, tweak a terrorist memorial design to pretend it's not a memorial to the terrorists. But that's what they're doing. They're tweaking things they're trying to help Murdoch improve his disguise so that he can get through gate security. It's the craziest thing imaginable.
One thing I wanted to add, Alex,
sure,
after that tweaking, because I want the public to know that when they tweak the design, these could be National Park Service people, they could be people in the local Somerset area, or family members, people who are not experts in design. And I would like the people to know that when Tom signed up to be on this jury, I thought, oh, my goodness. And I traveled with him out to Somerset. And I was on the family board, and I was not allowed to go in and see anything because of all of this secrecy and privacy and everything else. And I could care less because I spent my time going to the site and meeting people that honored our son. But when this was finished, and Tom, I picked Tom up, and Tom said that he was going to speak out to the Somerset Daily American and tell them that he opposed the design, I said, oh, no. Are you sure you want to get into this? Because you, I mean, they will attack you. And they did. And they have. They continue to do it. And they quickly announced, this was in August, they quickly announced the winner in right away. I'm not sure why they did that. And when I finally saw the five finalists, it was obvious. I said to the guy who was in charge, don't tell me which one they picked. Let me just go through here and I'll see if I can pick it out. And sure enough, I could pick it out, the Crescent of Embrace. It had red. And people know, I mean, you wear red, you're going to be noticed, and red. And why the other designers didn't put red into their designs, I don't know. But they have attacked Tom, they have attacked Alex, they attacked me, and because you opposed that design. And at one open meeting in Somerset, one of the family members stood up and compared Tom with the terrorist on the plane.
My
and not
goodness.
One person, National Park people, anyone, stood up to defend Tom. And something's wrong there. I mean, it's not their design. You know, I don't understand their motives. I really don't. And other than they want to get it over with, that's how some of these family members look at
yeah.
them. They're second cousins or their stepbrothers or, you know, let's just get it over with and not really looking. They're trusting our government. They're trusting the National Park Service completely.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Murdoch really, his motives are to make a mosque-type monument, or is he trying to, you know, this politically correct reach out and try to have an olive branch between the Muslims and the West? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that listening to many of the family members and listening to them almost immediately, they want to reach out. And not realizing that by reaching out, their arm may be cut off. And there is no reaching out. We want to honor the 40 on the plane. That has nothing to do with Islamic history. They were 40 people who were working, paying taxes, doing their job, and they were attacked. And no, I think that, and then for their family members to come up with this reaching out, we even had some family members travel to Afghanistan immediately after 9/11. And
apologize for the United States.
I mean, why are we, apologizing?
Oh, my. Their son or daughter was killed, and they're going over to apologize?
Yes. Oh, and I don't think...
A good bit like Obama, by the way, what he did in Saudi Arabia and Egypt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, hold on. I'll pick up right there. I got to get a break in here, and we'll pick it up right from there. Again, with author Alec Rawls, who has the website and the book by that same name, crescentofbetrayal.com. And then, of course, the Burnett's website, Tom Burnett Family Foundation, all one word, .org. We'll come back with more in a moment. And back we are, feedback on 550 WSAU, and 99.9 WSAU FM. We're with Beverly and Tom Burnett and also author Alec Rawls as we have moved into the territory of this memorial, Flight 93 Memorial out in Pennsylvania, and some of the controversy that is going about that. Let me ask you this. Is the memorial right now, are they going to put down the flight that fought back? I mean, are those words being used for this?
I don't know what I don't think they're going to use those words at all.
I mean, I just can't. I think right now, folks, I think the Americans, as we've seen in these town hall meetings and these tea parties, we're riled up now. And I think if this gets out again, I think we're getting a lot of backing for, you know, let's not put America as the bad guy.
Absolutely.
Well, the lead
inscription. One thing I want to mention, too, I forgot to, is that Tom and I and other family members went out and listened to the black box that was secured after the crash. And we heard our son's voice. We heard it twice and listened to the tape. And we also heard the terrorists praising Allah, 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 constantly.
Yeah.
And if anyone has any question of who these people were on that flight, they should listen to the black box.
Yeah. Alec,
anyway, that I just wanted the public to know that.
Alec, what were you going to say?
You asked about the
inscription?
On the theme of the design, the inscription that's on, that they're using is a field of honor forever. And it's placed, it's very ambiguous as to who's being honored, and it's placed in Murdoch's theme to honor the terrorist. It's the inscription on the block, that big block at the upper crescent tip where the flight our peaceful circle is symbolically broken by the violence of 9/11. And the inscription on that block is a field of honor forever. So the specific act that's being honored is the breaking of the circle and turning it into the crescent. It's absolutely crazy. Then I've tried to contact this firefighter from L.A. whose inscription's being used and say, you got to protest this. I mean, they're taking your words and perverting. They're putting them to mark the circle breaking, crescent creating feat. That this is the explicit theme of this memorial. But a lot of people don't want to stick their heads up, unfortunately.
Where are we sitting right now? Is it still on hold? Have they started construction? Where are we at right now?
They are about to start
construction.
They haven't
secured all of the land. I mean, they still are waiting to secure the land. They're hoping to start moving dirt in November. And my cause has been the not touching the ground where we still have remains. And I have fought for this for 8 years. And I'm not sure, they tried to say, you know, we're not going to do this. So we'll see. Not move anything where there still are remains. We also have remains that are stored in a secret spot, remains that were taken from the crash site and that need to go back into the crash site, or they need to sort them through, send the remains back to the families. One or the other. They need to do something. Mm-hmm. But they're stored. And all of the items that were found at the crash site that are stored in California, some of the things, I mean, it could be underwear, it could be books or whatever. And they have not, family members have not stepped forward and claimed those things. And, you know, that has to be decided, too. Is it going to, do we bury them, or is somebody going to want to have a museum and place those things in there, which I am opposed to, by the way.
Yeah.
But they published a book with all the items they found, and Dina and our family went through everything to find and pick out Tommy's things. And so we did, and they were returned mm-hmm. to Dina. So
I keep thinking, like, of Oklahoma City. They have something there for each individual who died. It's too bad they don't have something there for each of the passengers on that plane.
Right. Well, you know, Tom and I would like to have a cross.
Yeah.
I mean, because our son is a Christian, and we would like to have a cross. And, there are no religious symbols in this memorial. And when you let the government...
Except for the giant crescent.
Yeah, except for the crescent, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And we have talked about that. And Tom Sr. can tell you that shortly before 9/11, he traveled to France with Tommy. And I don't know if you want to mention that or not.
I don't think so.
About the cemetery and how, what is wrong with a cemetery? And you think about the soldiers that are being killed and coming back and being buried at Fort Snelling. What is the size of that plot? And here we have in Somerset over 2,200 acres. And there is more coming that the Conservation Fund is securing for some reason. I don't even know why. And why? Why do we need all that space?
Yeah.
And they put out the figure in the articles that you read today. It's $58 million. Well, that doesn't include the land. And then in the next sentence, they say they're working to get the land. So the public is not getting the straight story on what this is going to cost. And it's pretty obvious it's going to be phased. But they haven't said that either.
Well,
they don't have the money.
And here it is, 8 years since that, and we're still doing this. We're coming close to the top of the hour. If people want to help the cause, help you, your family, and Alec, what can they do?
Well, I think, and Alec and Tom can talk, but I think they need to contact their local representatives and senators and make them aware of what's going on out there and let them stand up and speak out. We have had, some representatives speak in Congress about it, but we need a lot more.
Sure.
What do you think, Tom?
Well, I agree. The listeners, your listeners, are going to think, wow, you were on a jury and that got through. What happened here? And it's a very complex explanation, but it was people who took over. And bankers?
Well, the vote was only 9-6, Tom.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So it wasn't a majority.
And a majority of that panel was the design professionals. It was 8 design professionals and 7 family members.
That's
so
right.
They were really able to dominate.
I think that's
probably what happened.
I'll tell you, people wonder about that, Dina's with us on this thing.
Yeah.
All the Burnetts are against it because it's a galactic mistake.
Right.
It's one that will go into the history if they prevail. And so, what has to be done is, and I've done it, and Alec has done it, Bev has done it, get a hold of the people who have some weight.
Right.
And local, Jim Ramstad was a wonderful representative we had in Washington.
Right.
And all of our Minnesota delegation has been very good to us. And,
right.
And if, just say, hey, let's hear the other side.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I got to go. But again, it's the Tom Burnett family and familyfoundation.org and the crescentofbetrayal.com. Thank you all very much. And God bless.
Thank you.